blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 348, stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 6. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there, and bow before him there. 1, 2, 5, and 6 of Psalter 348.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, the fifth chapter, Ephesians chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then, and that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, long-suffering God of the heavens and of the earth, once again, that we may attempt to acknowledge thee when thou bringest us up in safety, health, and strength in this morning hour of this newly begun day, but also a newly begun year. Lord, give unto us hearts indeed that may be humbled before thee under all thy many great blessings, which does not lie in us by nature, because also this we take for granted every moment, that is our very life, that it is given unto us and that is expected by us moment by moment. But it is on the side of each and every one of us forfeited because of our own sin. And therefore it is but thy long-suffering mercies that we are permitted to gather together again, to come up unto thy house of prayer. And Lord, then we have sung also together what the desire of thy servant was, and what is the desire of each and every one of thy people when thou wilt plant thy saving grace within. Then there is a love for thee, and a love for thy house, and a desire, a hunger and a thirst that we may receive a blessing, that we may receive something of a token of thy favor and thy communion in thy house of prayer. Oh, that we also, each and every one of us with our dear children, may not be strangers of this love and of this desire and of this hunger, even in this very morning hour. Lord, that there may be a place for thy word to fall in this morning in the heart of each and every one, and that it may not return void unto thee, but that it may accomplish thy will and good pleasure. And may that will be not our destruction, but that it may be our salvation. Lord, thou bringest us with our children to thy house and under thy means of grace. Thou leavest so many others to walk in their ignorance of thee and of thy word, to whom it is never proclaimed and read and searched. Oh, that thou would look then also upon them. For what maketh us to differ from our neighbors here in our own community and from those near and far in our country and in other countries of this world? Oh, that thou thyself may bring thy word with power by thy servants to the ends of the earth, but that we also may feel something of our own responsibility and concerning those that surround us day by day, that which we may receive may not be kept quiet by us, but that we also may receive in our heart that burning desire that we may speak of it unto one another and unto those who know it not. Oh, that they also may not remain ignorant, but that they may be brought also with weeping and with supplications, and that we each one in our own place in this world may be a little instrument in thy hand to the bringing forth also of others. Oh, give then each one of us that life in our soul that will drive us out and that will open our mouth to speak well of thee, and that will yearn for the welfare of our neighbor. But Lord, wilt thou look also upon us and on our children as we have thy word, and as thou continuest it also amongst us, when we may instruct from the pulpit, when we may instruct in our own homes, when we may instruct in our school in catechism classes. Oh, that thou would look then also upon our children and upon our youth. In the year that is to come, Lord, could it please thee then to bless the labors of our hands as consistory, but also as teachers and as fathers and mothers in our own homes, that we may be diligent in our task, that we may be faithful, that we may put away false shame, and that we may be given to speak of those things that are most needful. Wilt thou bless then this instruction in the midst of us as a congregation in the year to come? Lord, thou extendest unto us our life. Oh, may it be for the good of our poor soul before that we have to die and meet thee. Could it please thee also to remember and to visit thy own church in the year that is to come? Lord, thou knowest each and every one of thy own. Oh, then thou hearest the needy when they cry. Oh, that that need also may be worked again by renewal in the heart of thy own children that have fallen asleep upon a bed of slothfulness, that they also may be given to be awakened out of their sleep, and that they may be given to hunger and thirst again as it was in days of old. Do look upon the little ones, the children, and the young men in grace, the little sheep, the little lambs of the flock. Lord, that thou would instruct them as they cry to thee. Oh, then there is hunger, then there is thirst. Oh, that thou may give us also as thy servant and the fitting words and the fitting matters to distinguish between the precious and the vile, but also to separate the cases of conscience among thy people. Oh, then we need to be endued with wisdom from on high, but that the needs that are felt in the heart may be declared upon the pulpit, and that thou thyself would feed thy church through our mouth, that the substance may be given us from above, and that we may be endued with a rich measure of thy spirit from on high, and that we may be a little instrument in thy hand for a little while here upon this earth, here in our own flock which thou hast given unto us. O Lord, bind us together. Bind us around thy holy word. Bind us together in our need, each and every one of us. Oh, that that need may drive us all together in public and in secret to thy throne of grace, that thou may look upon us and our children before that it is forever and eternally too late. Oh, bind it upon the hearts of the youth and of the children. Oh, that they also may be given to cry from their own inner chambers, and that all together our cry may be lifted up
and may come unto the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Oh, that thou would hear from heaven thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, wilt thou forgive? And wilt thou take away the dearth? And wilt thou pour down a blessing from above? Thou art able to do it so that there shall be not room enough to receive it. O thou who art so bountiful, thou who art so full, O that thou would also administer unto us out of that fullness. O then our hearts, that they shall overflow with the praises of thee in our mouth, in a little measure here upon this world. And it shall be the beginning of an eternal song. O Lord, wilt thou teach us to sing to thy honor and to thy glory already here below. And then our heart needs to be humbled in the dust of self-abasement, and that thou may be glorified to the highest, that we may not be strangers of this work, but wilt thou strengthen our hands for our labors, each one of us, in this world also, in the needs and cares of each home. Lord, supply for fathers, for those that must maintain their households. Wilt thou give strength, wilt thou give diligence and the ability and the wisdom to do all the labors of their hands, that they may be enabled to support their families and to support thy church. Lord, that thou would bless and prosper us undeservedly, that also the children and the young people, when they may be given to labor here and there, oh, that thou may keep and watch over and protect them. When they may go to school, wilt thou bless also the labors there, that our teachers also may receive strength, a little rest in these weeks, and the courage and all that is necessary to continue again in the future. Oh, supply thou then in all our needs, the mothers also, in the families, Lord, thou knowest the burdens that there often are. Oh, that thou would undergird and wilt thou strengthen and encourage, even as thy servant did strengthen himself in the Lord his God when they all were weeping. Lord, that thou also may give courage, and that thou may give to look up unto thee in all the needs and in all the troubles and the cares of this life. For it is all in thy hand, and thou wilt direct it to the end, which is known and decreed by thee, and that it may be a comfort unto each and every one of us, and that we may be given indeed to bow under thee and under thy will. And wilt thou look upon our government and the governments of these nations in which we live, one over the length and the breadth of the world. Lord, there is so much turmoil. Also the nation whom thou sayest is the beloved for the Father's sake. Thou knowest the turmoil, thou knowest the hatred, thou knowest the warfare. Oh, that thou thyself may supply in all their need. Oh, that thou may protect and watch over them for good. And may thou be pleased also to engraft them in again, to turn them, to open their eyes, that they may be given to see and to believe that thou art he that was promised, and that they also may be given to believe in thee. Lord, wilt thou so look upon our nation also in the needs and the cares, for thou knowest the economy and all that has taken place in this world. Oh, that thou may give us instruction through all these ways, but may thou also use it, Oh, that we may not go on any longer in our sin, but wilt thou turn us again, O Lord, that the judgments may not go on unheeded, but that we may learn even those who are sitting upon the thrones, those who are making the laws for our countries, the judges of our land. Oh, that we might learn to bow our knees all together before thee. Wilt thou then remember us? Also in this day, look upon all that could not gather with us, those that are in their own homes, those that may be sick. Wilt thou give health and strength again? Be with widows, widowers, and orphans, and all that are lonely in these days. And wilt thou show thyself to be near also in this morning hour? For Lord, who is sufficient to bring thy word, and who is able to receive it, that thou would remember each and every one of us. Take away all that can hinder for the body and for the mind. Drive out the buyers and the sellers, and give us in the beginning of this new year, give us a little meditation, a quiet moment in this morning, and that we may receive instruction from thee, each and every one of us together. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 104, stanzas 3, 4, 5, and 6. Make me, O Lord, to know my end. Teach me the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am, and turn from pride and sinful ways. 3 through 6 of Psalter 104. Congregation, we wish with the consistory to wish unto each one of you with your families the richest blessing of the Lord in this new year. It is known unto the Lord from eternity what this new year also is going to bring. That is something that is not known to us. It is hidden from us. Also, whether we live or whether we die, also possible for you, young people, as we may read in the newspapers, 8 young men who have so suddenly and so unexpectedly come to their end. Thus, what this year has in store for us that we do not know. One thing we know, and that we have this present moment. Thus, we may live this life as receiving it from the hand of the Lord, moment by moment. Is that also how we live? As if each of those moments it could be our last. With the help of the Lord, we wish to consider something of this with you in this morning hour from the words of our text, which you can find in the chapter that was read to you, Ephesians 5, and thereof the 16th verse. Ephesians 5, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So far, the words of our text. Paul's exhortation to redeem the time. First, we wish to consider the character of time. And second, the redemption of time. Paul's exhortation to redeem the time. First, the character of time. And second, the redemption of time. This epistle of Paul was written from Rome while Paul was a prisoner. We know that Paul has worked, Paul has labored, he has preached in Ephesus for 2 or 3 years. And the Lord has been pleased to establish in this city a large congregation. But after Paul was taken prisoner and brought into Rome, then we know that Paul has also written letters, and he has written to the Philippians and to the Colossians and to Philemon, and then probably also at that same time also to the Ephesians. Ephesus, children, you know, that was a very great metropolis, a very great city in Asia Minor. And what was it that was dwelling there in the midst of that city? Well, there was there an idol temple. It was the temple of the greatly esteemed goddess of Diana. Thus, Paul had so much opposition to his work here in this place. And Paul writes also to the Ephesians that there are many adversaries. Because of those adversaries, Paul has a desire that he may establish that truth of the Lord, the doctrine of God's holy word in the midst of this flock of the Ephesians. And then in his letter, and we can read in the first part how that he is treating of all of many of the major doctrines of the Word of God. That he speaks about predestination and the redemption of men, his conversion and what salvation by free grace is. And then afterwards in the second part, then he gives instruction concerning the principal duties of that religion. See, he says, that ye then walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Thus, that is in this second part of this letter, and that our text is found redeeming, he says, the time, because the days are evil. Thus, Paul uses the fact that those times are evil, that he may stir up the church at Ephesus to redeem the time. He says that the enemies that are without and the enemies that are within are so many, that there is a desire to obstruct the propagation and the instruction of his truth in their midst. And then Paul is speaking about those false teachers that are also going to come in the future, that are going to corrupt that true doctrine. And we can read in the book of Revelations about the Nicolaitans, which were also in this place in Ephesus, that they have a pretended zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ, but it is really an opposition unto that true work. Thus Paul speaks of these things even before that they are coming to pass. And then not only so, but there were other times that were going to be approaching very soon. And Paul may, by the Spirit of the Lord, see something of those times that were coming for the church and what that church would have to go through in the future. And then he begins to speak about the persecution that was approaching unto the church, that he says that the days that are coming, they are going to be evil days. And it is because of the evil of those days that he is even saying, young people, that he is even giving the advice that in such times as these, then it is perhaps better that you do not even marry one another. And because there is going to be so much tribulation and so many trials, and then to be married and to have a family is going to be so very, very difficult. Redeeming the time, he says, for the days are evil. Thus, congregation, he speaks about time. What is time? Well, we may say that time is at least perceived by us to be a continuation of our experience. A continuation of our experience, how that events which are today seen as something that is lying in the future, those events, they become present events. And from the present, they pass into the past. Thus, this continuum of time, this proceeding of the events in the world from future to present to past. In the book of Revelations, we read about an angel. An angel that is standing with one foot on the sea and one foot on the earth. And that angel lifts up his hand unto heaven, and he swears by the Lord that there shall be time no longer. Thus, he says, then we can read in the Word of God that there is going to come a point wherein time is going to cease. Time is going to have an end. That there will be no such thing as time anymore. That is something that is so difficult for you and I, who are creatures of the time, to comprehend. There will be then nothing past, present, or future. These will not exist at all. Everything is going to exist in a simple being. Existence. Thus time that is to be swallowed up in eternity. There will be no more waiting for the events to proceed, because there will be no such thing anymore as time. Will not exist. Thus we will not be looking for a different time to come. No, everything is going to exist then in its final state. Thus there is coming a point, we read in the Word of God, that time that is going to be no more. You do not know when that will be. And thus, because we do not know when this is going to be, time that is so very uncertain. Although time is something that you and I take so much for granted every moment again, time is something that is so very uncertain. It is uncertain for this world, for the existence, for the being of this world, for the continuation of this world. Time is so very uncertain, can come to an end any moment. But that is so also with each of us in a personal way. And that our time also here in this world can come in a moment to an end. Though it is uncertain, one thing we know, that time that is described in the Word of God as very short. Time is described as an hand breadth, the width only of our hand. Time is that is described as a shadow that is declining. Time is described as a vapor that is in the world, it is in the air for a few moments, and then that vapor that is disappearing. And so that is in a special way when we try to compare time to eternity. Actually, we cannot compare these two, can we? How can we actually compare time to eternity? Then the longer that we consider that which we cannot comprehend, that eternity, then the more we see that time that is fading away into just an insignificant thing. That is why Solomon, he says, that we go to our long home. Do we believe this? That this is our short home and that we go to our long home? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Time, congregation, is unstoppable. Time that is like an ever-rolling stream that is bearing its sons away, and no one is able to hinder that time from continuing to go. We can stop the clock from ticking, but we are not able to cause that time to cease from running unto its end. Thus time, time that has an end, that time that is so very uncertain, that time that is so very short, that time that is unstoppable. Time is also a great gift. It is not something that you and I have taken to ourselves. No, time is something that has been given as a gift of God to each and every one of us. And now that time is also in the Lord's hand concerning our entire life. Because not only have we not given that time unto ourselves, but we cannot extend our time. We cannot give to ourselves one more moment than the Lord Himself is pleased to give us. Yes, when our time that is drawing to a close here in this earthen man, he is struggling. He is struggling that he may have a little bit more of that time. But what do we read? We read that there is no discharge in this war. That is, as man is fighting against dying, that there is no weapon that he is able to discharge against that enemy of death. Thus, time, that is a great gift of God. And that is not the prerogative of any man in this world to deprive himself of that God-given time and to take away his own life so that for him and that time will cease. What an inconceivable affront unto God who has given this great gift of time to man. For man to cast this gift away from him. We receive many gifts from one another. We also receive many gifts from the Lord. The congregation, one of the greatest gifts that we receive from the Lord is time. We receive this year by year. We received it again. Time in this morning hour. That we may continue, at least that we may enter into another year. And not only year by year, but we are receiving that time out of the hand of the Lord actually moment by moment. Every moment the Lord bestowing upon us another great gift of more time. Now what do? With that great gift that God has given unto us. And what is our intention to do with that great gift as we go now into a new year? That we wish to consider in our second thought, the redemption of time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Who is here speaking? That is the Apostle Paul. Is that all, children? Is that all who is speaking here? No, because it is out of the Bible, and the Bible is the inspired word of God. Thus, it is God who is speaking. And God who is here giving unto mankind a command. It is a command concerning the gift that he has given and a gift that he is continuing to give to his creature moment by moment in this world. Thus the Lord says, when I give you this gift, then this gift of your time, that is not something that you may use just as you please, according to your own desires. No, he says, I give you a command, what you are to do with your time. Then because of that command, then each and every one of us are accountable unto God for this command. That is, every one of his creatures, when he has made us, is accountable to him as a servant is accountable unto his master. Young people, you are also accountable when you go to do your labors and you are told by your employer to do this and to do that with your time. Then you are accountable to him. And so the Lord makes us also accountable to him for every single moment of our life. And then in a special way, those of us who may be instructed and who may hear this command of the Lord, then we in a special way will have to give an account unto God for what we knew was his command. Redeeming, he says, the time, because the days are evil. Thus, a command to redeem the time. What does that mean? To redeem something. Well, to redeem something means to acquire it by a purchase. So it's actually speaking about the work of a merchant who goes out to buy something, and it actually means to purchase back again, to buy it back again. So we know that in the Old Testament there were those at times who were so poor that they sold themselves. They sold themselves unto their neighbors. And their neighbors have provided for them food and drink and supplied for them. But then it was possible that their loved ones, when they were able, they were able to redeem their brother, their sister, who had sold themselves because of their poverty. They would redeem them. They would buy them back. They would pay a price unto those who had bought them, that they may receive their loved ones back again unto freedom. Thus, it is the redemption price. to buy it back again. We know that the souls of the church of God are redeemed. They are, as it were, bought back again. Their price that is paid by the Son of God, who became the Son of Man, who suffered and died for them, to pay the price for sin, to redeem them, to purchase them back once again into the service of the Father, into that true freedom. And now the Apostle Paul uses this word concerning what? He uses this word concerning time. To redeem the time. To buy it back again for a price. Thus this word redeem, that is emphasizing something, that is emphasizing the value of time. The value, the great value, just as if it is something that is worthy for us to spend something on, our money on, worthy of being bought by us. If you will buy something, then that thing that we buy is worth to us, in our estimation, more than that money that is in our hand. Otherwise, we would not make the trade. But when we are going to buy it, then it is something that has to have a value to us. It has to mean something for us. And now the Apostle Paul, he says that we need to buy, that we need to purchase back again, that we need to redeem the time. How much, congregation, would you pay for time? Maybe we do not think of it so often in this way. But when we think to have much time, that is like everything else, when we think to have much time, then that time is to us of little worth. But let now our time begin to come unto its end. And the closer that our time will come to its end, the more value and the more worth is that time going to have in our estimation. Oh, congregation, if we were told we had but one day left, one day in this new year, oh, then how much would you pay? How much would you give that you may have a little more time, that you may have a few more months, that you may have a few more years? Would you give your beautiful truck for that, young people? Would we give our beautiful house for this? Fathers and mothers? What would we pay to purchase more time, to buy it back again, to redeem the time? Redeeming the time. For the days are evil. What actually then would we be purchasing? Oh, then we are purchasing actually opportunity. Opportunity. Because opportunity is the thing that time is giving unto us. And when that time that is running out, and when that time we see that time is coming to a close, and for us that time is going soon to end, then man is finally coming to his senses about the value of that time. How much it is worth because of the opportunity that time is giving to him. And then in a special way, an opportunity for what? Oh, in a special way, an opportunity that we may be reconciled unto our Maker, and that we may be reconciled unto God. Oh, then how much would we not give that we may have a little more time that we may read in the Word of God? How much would we not give? Oh, maybe if we could just have the opportunity to go one more time unto that house of God, to have that Word of God preached to us, that it may sink into our soul. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Not all time has the same value. Because not all time gives to us the same opportunity. There are some moments in our life, and they are so very of great much importance. There are some moments that are to our great detriment if we would just let this moment pass by. Woe to the five foolish virgins who were not prepared in that moment that the bridegroom came and he went by. In that moment of time, what a very precious moment that these five foolish virgins have lost. If you do not sow in the spring, farmers, oh, then there is a certain time that you say that it is possible to sow the seed. And if we will miss this time, and then it is lost, and then there will be no harvest. What does Solomon say? Young people, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth before the evil days come. Then he speaks about a special time, a time of the youth, that if you will let this time pass by, oh, then it is as if you let the greatest opportunity pass you by in your whole life. Oh, there is no time that is so precious as that time that labor is being done, is being expended upon the need of our soul. We have to work. 6 days the Lord commands us to spend our time laboring in this world. So often in that time, there is so little opportunity to meditate. So often in that time, there is so little opportunity to read and to seek the face of the Lord. Oh, how precious then. How precious is that one day. Do you see it so? How precious is that one day out of those seven where the Lord says, you do not have to spend your time doing other things in this world. No, you may not. No, it is a precious, precious time. Oh, there is no time so valuable as that time, congregation, as that we are sitting under the preaching and the reading of that holy Word of God. No time so valuable. Because those are the moments that if those moments are let go, oh, those are the moments that the Lord says He is going to work in the hearts of His church. They are the moments the Lord says He is going to give that new birth. That He is going to give life from the dead. That He is going to speak, Lazarus, come forth. Oh, are they not precious moments then? Are they not moments that we should value so highly? Oh, are there moments that are of so much value as those moments that we may be allowed to bow our knees in secret? Are there moments in our life that are of more value than those moments that we may lay that Word of God open before us and meditate in our own secret places? Oh, when those opportunities are gone, then congregation, they are gone forever. Because time that is irrecoverable, we cannot redeem lost time. Once it is past forever. Does that not increase the value of our time? Does that not increase the preciousness of the moments of time that the Lord is still extending to you and I? And does not the Lord rightly say then to us to redeem the time? Let us sing. Psalter 247, 3 through 6. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. 3 through 6 of Psalter 247. redeeming the time because the days are evil. The time of the apostle. Then we know that he is speaking about the persecutions that are coming for the church in the world. He says that this is an evil time. They did not know of their life. John writes, little children, it is the last time. It is the last dispensation before that the Lord Jesus is going to come to judge the quick and the dead. Congregation, what do we see in our own time? Oh, the persecution that is not so very far away from us. No, it is coming. We can see it with our eyes. It has begun already. Oh, how we can hardly even dare to speak any more openly against sin and iniquity in our world. Oh, we read, for the elect's sake, that time of persecution that is going to be shortened. We live in a world wherein there is open wickedness. The unborn are legally and openly murdered. The Sabbath day is desecrated. The name of the Lord that is used in vain all over in our world. Man is idolized with his body, his sports. Or was it worse in the first world? Was it worse with Sodom? Can we not see that the judgments of the Lord, they cannot be so very far away from us and from our children? The days indeed are evil. Oh, when we see also even within the churches, how that sin that is becoming no sin anymore. No, we do not see it. We do not hate it. We do not mourn over it. We do not put it away from us. Oh, yes, there is much religion in our world, but there is so little truth. Where is man acknowledged to be a fallen creature, lying in a state of death? But Satan goes about with the name of Christ to deceive so many people in this world. Indeed, the days are evil. And many of those days we have lost already. Thus there are but few days left. And therefore the apostle, he is urging the church to redeem the time because the days are evil. We need to redeem the time that is left because we cannot redeem anymore at that time that we have lost. But congregation, when we will redeem something, then we have to pay for it. To redeem something costs something. That means that there is something else that we have that will need to be sacrificed by us in order that we may redeem the time. Thus, what are we willing to trade in order that we may redeem the time? Congregation, especially in our day that we are living with our children, the opportunities in this world, they are so very great. Everything is just at our fingertips. We have so much prosperity. There are so many opportunities, and we are able with our children to do this and to do that and to do the next thing in this world. So many entertainments for us are available, so much money to pay for it. It used to be there was not enough money. It used to be that the opportunity was not there.
Those were our limiting factors. Now we have but one limiting factor. We don't have enough time to do it all in. There's one thing that is limiting us, that is our time. What does that mean? That means that time that needs to be seen, time that needs to be viewed by us as a commodity, as something that is worth money, something that we pay with, that is here according to the Word of God. Thus you say sometimes, maybe young people, that you like to do this or you like to do that, and it will cost me nothing. Is that so? It will cost us nothing? It will cost us how much of our valuable and how much of our precious time that we are commanded by the Lord, our Maker and our Creator, to redeem. Oh, there is so much that we can do. What must be then our question? Is it worth? Is it worth what our time is worth to us? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Where? Where does a person see the reality? Where does a person see the truth regarding the value of his time? That is on his deathbed. Oh, if this reality would now govern our life, how would we redeem our time? Congregation on our deathbed, how much would you give? How much would you pay to redeem the time that you sat surfing the web? How much would you pay to redeem, to get back again, the time that you sat watching a video or doing some other foolish, wasteful entertainment in this world? Young people, when you are lying on your deathbed, how much would you pay to receive back again the hours, the days, and when you sum them, the weeks, maybe the months, that you have sat reading fiction, useless novels, cost you nothing? Cost you your precious, valuable time that one day you are going to see the worth of. Children, congregation must play. That is their work. Paul says, when I became a man, then I put away childish things. Oh, how much time is not being wasted under the name of a hobby, under the name of relaxation. Oh, we have, congregation, an awful word. It is the word pastime. We hear sometimes the expression, I'm just killing some time. Oh, what an awful thing to think, to just kill and to throw away this great gift of God. Redeeming the time
because the days are evil. How many modern conveniences do we not have? Much more than our parents. And have we not less time to read the Bible? Oh, congregation, even lawful things. What did the Lord Jesus say? Martha, Martha. Oh, thou art careful and cumbered about many things. But one thing is needful. One thing. Man fills his life from the morning unto the evening. It used to be in the evening that we had to stop because there was no more light. And now we can go far into the night. And is there any time to sit and study that word of God? Is there any time to sit and meditate? Is there any time to sing? Is there any time to read that which is based upon the holy word of God? O congregation, have we become old? And have we wasted our precious time? Time that cannot be regained anymore. Oh, then is then that command of the Lord not to be redoubled in its urgency. For that short time that is left in your life, redeeming the time because the days are evil. No, it is not to be squandered. It is not to be wasted. It is not to be trifled away. The opportunities are not to be neglected for our own soul, for helping and for doing good to other people, and also to gain the souls of other people. What did the Lord Jesus say? He says, I must work while it is day. The night comes, and no man can work. And children, he said that also when he was young. I must be, he says, about my Father's business. If the Lord converts us, do you know what we will do? Then there is no one that has to say unto us, redeem the time. Did Philip have to say that to the eunuch? He's coming back from Jerusalem. Riding in his chariot. What was he doing? Oh, he has the Bible open. And he is seeking and he is searching in that holy book. There is a people in the world, you do not have to tell them to redeem the time. Oh no, Bunyan described that people. He said he was walking out of the city of destruction. Is that right, children? Came walking out? No. No, you read, he begins to run. And when others come behind him to stop him, he puts his fingers in his ears and he cries out, life, life, eternal life. He did not stay in all the plain. All that is a people that you do not have to tell to redeem the time. And yet to whom does Paul speak here? He speaks to the living church. He speaks to God's true people in that city of Ephesus. And what was necessary? All was necessary for Paul to say to them, redeem. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. What does it speak of? It speaks of a church that is lying on a bed of sloth. Because later we read in Revelations that it was this people in Ephesus. They have left their first love. Thus it is a people that need to be stirred up again that they may redeem the time. Congregation, it is now 2009. 2009, how quickly has this come? And now we may enter together. It is, as it were, a new beginning. And now we have each received a great gift. A great gift from the Lord. Every moment is another one. How many He will give us, we don't know. Maybe just a few moments. Maybe we will be given the entire year. What are we going to do with it? Say, minister, I cannot convert myself. No. No, you cannot. But the Lord tells you to do it. And the Lord has given us means. And for those means, we will have to give an answer one day. O congregation, that there may be found in our midst, oh, that it may be every one of us in this year to come, that we could not let the Lord go except He bless us. Because it is such askers, and it is such seekers, and it is such knockers that are going to be heard, and that are going to be answered. May that be our experience in that year that is before us. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou forgive our many sins? Bless thy word. Oh, it is thy word. Bring it in our hearts that our time may become precious to us, that we may seek thee while thou art to be found, and that thou may work in this day of salvation. Wilt thou bring us safely to our homes? Keep us from all iniquity and from all sin. Bring us together again on thy holy day with desire in our souls. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 164, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. And then afterwards, we ask the congregation to please remain seated. Psalter 164, 1, 2, and 4. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. My spirit thirsts thy grace to taste. An exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be, in which no waters be. 1, 2, and 4 of 164.
we stand on the beginning of a new year, may we be permitted just to say a few words on behalf of the consistory and on behalf of the congregation. And then we have heard much ready this morning, and whatever we may hope to say, may it not be our own words. But I was thought just to read one or two verses out of Galatians, and there from the first chapter. And in the first verse, the first part, Paul says, Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but of Jesus Christ, and by God the Father. And then he goes further in verse 10, For do I now persuade man or God, or do I seek to please man? For if I yet please man, I should not be the servant of Christ. And then it is our prayer, Reverend, that you may be faithful unto your sender. You've mentioned one sentence this morning also, that also you have also a sender, and that you have to be faithful unto him. And then it is not to preach pleasing unto the ears of men, but that you may bring also may yet the riches in Christ, that we need to be converted, because we have heard it, the time is short. We have to redeem the time. Then it is our prayer and our wish as congregation, and also as consistory, that the Lord may remember you, that the Lord may give you strength, may give you wisdom, insight in his word, and that you may yet bring it also in that way, because Paul also said this, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. And that is what we may also yet hope and pray, that also in this, in 2009, you may bring it that way. And then I also thought, consistory and also congregation, what is then our place? That may it yet be that our place is also by times upon our knees, and that we may also yet beg the Lord that he may help our servant, not pleasing to my ears or your ears, but that it may yet be to the glorification of his great name. Then I thought, if we may together in that way, that we may yet pray for one another, that our minister yet pray for us, and bring yet the word, and that we may pray for him, then we are together in unity, and then we are together in love, that may yet bind us together, that we may know that that love, that truth, that will bind us together, and that may yet lead unto conversion, is it then not nice if we may yet think of that, that we may yet come together Sabbath day to Sabbath day in such a way, then there may be times that we said, oh, minister, what are you speaking about? It may yet be difficult to understand, because it does not preaching pleasing unto our ears, but it is what is so necessary that it may yet be well for eternity. Reverend, may the Lord remember you together with your wife, your children, with your family. May he also give you strength and health according to the body to do your work. And then I thought that we'll close in place of the doxology, and then we'll do it standing, and then we'll sing of 370, those two verses, where we may dwell together in unity as brethren. We'll sing 370, 1 and 2, standing, please.
So
Thank you, Mr. Brunn, and may the Lord fulfill it. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.